Actually, continuously in a lot of time I was in Europe, so I was not living in the certain or singular country during that time. It was during COVID, actually, but I was moving, but a lot of time I was within Europe, so I feel like I'm very familiar with that place as well. So I consider myself a global citizen where I could adapt to places very well, especially if they are English-speaking countries, right? But the funny thing is, 5 years ago, when I was in New York, almost 5 years ago, I think I started to have the darkest time of my life, and I had no idea about it. 'Cause I had a lot of challenging time in my life, right? And to achieve my goal. Actually, I have a very supportive family, like my parents, basically, because I'm the only child. And as normal Chinese people in my generation that you could meet. So I am very blessed, right? I'm able to be well-educated. So yeah, there's nothing to complain, but I would say normally those hard times that I had or I have encountered were mostly related to the goal that I wanted to achieve. I was the typical Chinese kids where, well, I cannot say, because I'm not typical at all, actually. I'm atypical. So I'm like anti-traditional Chinese culture in terms of follow the route where everybody else expect you to do. However, I realized that I inherited this culture where we really care about the education. And I guess my family, my parents don't really have high expectation towards me, but I just went to a normal normal university. I studied law, right? So it took me like such a hard time to get into it. I loved my college, I loved my schools, all the schools that I went to, but as a matter of fact, that's far away from being the top law school in China, right? So the thing is, I was very happy when I was there, because I tried so hard to get into it and pass the Chinese SAT. But I would say I'm not typical, because I did not do what other law school student did, is just to take this exams and then become a lawyer. Because at that time, I decided to explore the world a little bit. Because back then, I think we didn't have social media back then. So the only way, as a Chinese young kid, the only way to see things outside of China is to be able to, I think the only path in my mind was to become an international student. That's why I applied to the law schools in the UK, and guess what? I got a conditional offer because my English was so poor. So yeah, I started to kind of like grinding so hard. I thought so, but I guess I was just being taken not really seriously. But I mean, I don't know. I was very serious, but then I don't have great study habit. Anyways, I took the conditional offer and took a gap because I wanted to improve my English, right? And then I got this random job at the number one airlines in the world, which is Qatar Airways. And I took that job because they could take me all over the world to try. So I was like, oh, forget about this law school first, because I can't delay that, right? So I'm going to go to there a year later after this world discovery trip, which was paid. So I was really happy. And I think being able to work for the top airlines in the world will add some value to my sort of resume. And I can always apply for a better school because my English would be better, right? And after that, I guess what? I was right. But the whole time I did not think about really I'm going to achieve anything, but I think there's some kind of signal. There's some kind of North Star, or I don't know. I don't think I was ambitious at that point. So I started to think maybe I don't have to go to law school. Maybe I don't have to go to the UK, because the reason I chose UK is because I was scared of GRE. I think I was like, oh my God. I was like this, you know, I probably could do better in terms of my master's. And so I was like, because there was always the plan, right? I just wanted to delay it, as what I said before. I think I subconsciously also really care about education, or that was my, I worked really hard for that. So I just took a different route to achieve the goal where I thought it would take me half of my life to achieve. But then I got that opportunity, so I caught it. And then I eventually still wanted to make the effort. That's just, you know, by taking all these exams for English, for GRE, for IELTS, come out with something. So I applied schools, and I went to the States, where I guess the best school that I got, or the offer I got, was Columbia, right? So I wanted to, I actually originally planned to go to NYU, like New York University. I was about to study something like, I actually forgot. I just applied something popular, like data analysis, something like that, right? Oh, thank God I didn't go, because I think I would be so bad at it. But later on, it was really serendipity. I got this offer from Columbia. So this experience has really taught me that, you know, you just try it, right? If you want something and you feel like you're not qualified, and you feel like scared, maybe I'm going to get rejected, but you always try it. You never know. So I got in, and actually after I got in, I realized I probably could apply for all other majors that I wanted, and there's a good chance that I could get in, right? But I was pretty happy of what I did. But at that time, I had no idea what I'm going to do about it. There's something related to law, where I studied negotiation and conflict resolution, law-related regulation, stuff like that. So that's really related to my background was, right? And I had some like classmates, they were like really young and already doing this master and about to head to like Stanford Law School or whatever. So I was like, oh my God, I feel so bad about myself. Why I feel so proud of myself? Because that was out of my expectation. But again, probably being a little too tedious, but I do encourage you to really try things if you wanted to try, right? Like if you got, I constantly feel I'm scared of being rejected, right? If you want to talk to somebody, if you wanted to invite somebody, if you wanted to head for a school, you want to get that job, you want to start your business or whatever, you never know, you could get it. Anyways, that taught me a lot of things. But after graduate from there, and I was like, what am I going to do with this, right? Because that was also during COVID. I went traveling like for 1.5 year almost. So I was doing remote course for 2 semesters, but the first and the last semester I was able to do it in person. And after that, I got lost. I got completely lost. I was like, actually, there's a market for that. But I didn't even do research because I didn't think this would be my path. So I was just like, what am I supposed to do? Am I going to? Because my original plan was to grab a master, grab a degree, and going back to China. That's exactly what I was thinking. As normal what I know, like a lot of Chinese international student would do, is just like you grab this good degree and go back and just arrange some jobs or get some job offers. That should be, life should be easier, right? But after that, I realized, wait, I've been to so many places and actually I feel that North America vibe fits me a lot, or at least New York vibe, right? So I was like, oh my God, but I've never planned this. I don't know anything about it, and I got lost, and I was also encountering some kind of relationship related hardships. So I would say, like, mentally and emotionally and even physically, I felt like everything falling apart in my life. At the time that I was supposed to be the happiest, right? Because I graduated from this top school where I was supposed to be very proud. I'm still very proud of it, right? But I think this is something that I realized, that life can throw some unexpected challenge to your life, or surprises, right? You never know. Like, it's always like out of your plan, though. It's always out of your plan. So I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do, right? And I remember I had a friend. We live in the same, like, there's like multiple buildings, so there are like a new community where she's living in, let's say, building A, and I'm in building B, right? She was with her husband. I was just by myself. So I was always thinking, oh, actually, she is in a better situation because at least she has her partner to support her. But I think life is fair that she also had to deal with a lot of, you know, like a lot of adjustment and a lot of different kind of, hopefully there's no drama, but like, you know, the challenges in the relationships as well, right? And she was taking, because she's a doctor, and she had to take these exams to transfer her doctor license. I'm not so sure what it is, but like from the UK to the States. And she's a Canadian, actually. So we hang out. I remember we were both very depressed. So she was depressed in a different kind of reason. Like I said, there's no easy life as I imagined. And I was like, oh my God, I was like in such a hard time. So I was very depressed. I was, the first time I think I was intentionally or was aware of the depression that I had. Because she pulled out a test. Oh, God damn it. She was a doctor. So I didn't need to know that, but I knew after the test we were both like very, very depressed. And normally I am a pretty happy person, I think. I'm pretty optimistic. That's this one trick that I have to encourage myself during the hard times. But like, so yeah, like we're both very depressed. And then that's where I started to do rock climbing, right? Because I liked doing sports, but like, I needed to find something that I could just go do it by myself. and also I could just do it when I moved to different places, if I needed to. But that really changed my life. I think I tried everything to save myself out of that situation. The really stupid thing that I did, I mean, I wouldn't say stupid now, but like back then I realized my thoughts was very stupid, because I was like, oh my God, I need to challenge myself, right? I need to find this authority that of myself, like I am in control, or I am able to be in control, or I am able to control my life, right? I'm able to handle those challenges. So I did a research. I was like, I decided I'm going to become a digital nomad. and I searched around and I realized that I had a few options. I could apply for like work visa in UK without having a job. So if you are in like top 50 school in the world, you graduated within 5 years, at that year they have this kind of policy. So I was like, oh, that's as a backup plan. But yeah, I don't know if I could adapt UK very well because I'm not a raining person. Anyways, so I searched around and I realized Bali is a great place. And then I was like, okay, then I'll go to Bali. And then I packed everything, closed the lease, right? And then I just carry a backpack, a pair of climbing shoes, and a small suitcase. And I flew to Bali all the way from New York. That was just kind of crazy now I think about it. And I remember I had a panic attack during the transfer flight. But there's nothing to do with Bali trip. That was just, you know, I had two panic attacks. The first one was on the way to Trader Joe. I was really just grabbing some groceries. And I had the panic attack. It's because of the heavy depression and anxiety that I had during that time. Yeah, because I've never experienced that, right? Like, I'm normally a really positive person. So I recognized that was something different than my normal status. Anyways, so I went to Bali and trying to be a digital nomad, remember? And guess what? I realized that normally those digital nomads who are living in Bali or Chiang Mai or some other places, they normally already have a job or a business, right? They're, let's say, a software engineer, or they're like UX designer, or they are like people who are running business remotely, right? So going there and trying to become a digital nomad was a stupid decision. But I learned from that, right? I guess I was just not procrastinating my action at all where I found this thing when I arrived there. And also, there's no really great climbing gym compared with, you know, what I had in New York or even in Vancouver. So I carry a bunch of the things and it's just not in use, in good use. And then I stayed there for around 2 months completely by myself. I did not go to clubbing. I did not like entertain at all. I started to create some videos back then, I realized. But it was just kind of miserable. And I was still in this low mental status, although I was trying to save myself from that status, right? And after 2 months, I decided to go back to New York. So I flew all the way back to New York with a very, very, very long flight. I suffered a lot from that flight because I got sick in the middle of the way and I was just by myself anyways. So that was a little traumatic from that trip. But I was always thinking, you know, maybe the Bali trip should teach me something, right? Not just like make that trip. But then after I went back to New York, I thought, okay, I was wrong. And also I learned one very important thing or lesson, which I did apply to my next move or my next trip to Canada, which is really useful, is that when you're trying to move to a new place or new cities, new countries especially, the better way is to go through an institution like university, like a school, or a corporate job, right? Like, for example, you're already a product manager and at, I don't know, Google, let's say. And the better thing is to continue to do this work, but applying for a different, like the relocation, so that it's better to adapt to the place where you don't have to learn how to do this new job, right? And school is a great choice because you're not just getting a degree, but also they always have like this kind of international office to help out international students, right? So that was a really important lesson that I learned from this Bali trip. Because I went there, right? I had nothing. And I have to do everything. Because I wanted to become a digital nomad where I did not know anything about it. So when I arrived there, I have to figure out my niche, what kind of land is for me, right? What's my career pathway? And at the same time, I have to travel around finding accommodations and do this and that, and find book flights, book taxi. Oh my God, it's too much. That's why I went back. So I learned something, you know, every experience counts, you know. And after I went back to New York, my friend were chatting with me And I think one of my closest friends, she is very independent, and she went to the States when she was a teenager and also learned so many lessons. And she was like, why don't you just go to Canada, right? Because blah blah blah, there's a multiple reason. I was like, I've never thought about going to Canada. At that time, I've already been to many places and never been to Canada. So I was like, oh my god, I don't know. But then after a week, I think I immediately changed my mind, because I wanted to get into the technology field, right? So that was also part of like where I came up with this idea of being digital nomad. Anyways, and then I was like, okay, I might just apply, because I saw there's a school. At that time, I had no idea about what SFU is, to be honest. I didn't even know something more about like UBC, because UBC is a great school here, and SFU is also like the top two universities here in British Columbia, this province. But I had no idea. I just saw this interactive technology school, and then this seems like very interdisciplinary, like where you can pick up all different kind of tools, right? And to figure it out, how are you able to connect your field with those technology? And back then, the AI hasn't got there yet, to be honest. I remember that ChatGPT released probably January 2024. So I was like, okay, great. I'm just gonna apply. And then I talked to many people, and I talked to the agent, right? Like the Chinese international students, like to hire people, like agent, right? To work with them, helping apply, especially before, right? Make it more efficient. I don't know. But that time I was really fluent and being able to do all this kind of work by myself. But I still wanted to consult their opinions, and the multiple people, all people that I asked, they told me it's impossible. You know, in Canada, if you wanted to do a master, then you have to come from the same background. If I studied, let's say, computer science, yes, I can get into this kind of technology fields, blah, blah, blah. And okay. And after that, I was like, okay, I'm just going to try myself. And guess what? I am here. And I'm having my career here. I'm having my community here. You know, I love this community. So this is what I'm saying. Like, you always try it. You always give it a shot. You always do it. Because the worst case scenario, you got rejected. And that's it. But even when you got rejected, you learn some lesson. If you do have this kind of growth mindset, where I do consider myself have. So, yeah, you give it a shot. And then you do it. I didn't even try my best. I don't know. Maybe I did. But I only applied this in the University of Waterloo. And guess what? I got the offers. I just got in. And of course, there's some hustle that I did. I find like three great referrals. Like they taught me in, they teach us classes at Columbia. And I think one of them teach classes or has like a really great position or experience at Harvard University. So I strategically find these people to write me referrals, and then also I connect. I remember I email everybody. I emailed all the professors in the discipline that has something related to my path. I didn't know what my path would be actually, but related to my somewhere like I wanted to work through. And guess what? And then I got some responses, and I quickly initiated some project and learned some basic coding. Coding is not for me, but I learned a little bit and coded my own portfolio website just to prove that I have this ability. I'm a quick learner and blah, blah, blah. I got in. So I came here to Vancouver, that was already, you know, like I was recovering from those kind of depressing mental status, because I really feel like I'm a rational person. I could be emotional, you know. I think I'm also empathetic, but I'm a rational decision maker. So from my thoughts, I feel like the best thing to get myself or mental status better or in a better situation is to do some action, to change my physical environment, to change the physical world, then I will be better. So that actually, I think I proved myself right, but I don't know. Maybe you can be a monk and do meditation 24 hours and then you will still work. I really appreciate and admire those kind of mental workers, like, but you don't have to go to become a monk. Okay, forget about all this. I like to say stupid things. But anyways, that's how I got into Vancouver. And I started to continue work on things, right? And I thought after I got into Vancouver, things will just change, become very beautiful. And guess what? I have like the biggest challenging time of my life again. So the first 2 years was just so challenging because I decided that entrepreneurship is my way. So I'm not going to get any specific job, full-time job or whatever. I'm just going to start my own business. And then I analyzed a little bit. I realized, oh my God, I don't, you know, I'm like so behind of this social media thing where I realized, oh my God, in China, at least everybody's doing this and people already make a lot of money and build a big career on it. Of course, maybe some of them are temporary, but I realized, okay, this is the good way to have the traffic or anything. And then that's why I started to do social media, and then I failed for 2 years continuously until I started the live streaming for this show. And magically, it just took off. So I really appreciate this place. I really appreciate this community. And I really appreciate you guys as audiences. And I also very appreciated myself, you know, to be able to just save myself out of there, right? Because, you know, really, no one is coming. Although I'm very blessed to have my parents' support. But I think if you are emotionally or mentally in some kind of challenging time, really the best way is to take some actions and change your environment and show yourself that it's okay to be rejected. It's okay to fail. But at one point, if you keep moving forward, something will work out. You will find your loved one, you will find your career, you will find your community, and you will find your self-identity and feel achieved, right? I think I exposed myself too much. Hopefully nobody's listening, so I'm not like, you know, would be like shy anything. Anyways, I do. I think I have some hard time to really completely expose myself. Wait, actually, I just did so many times, so that's not true. Anyways, it's get towards to the show. I don't know if you enjoyed today's conversation, but I really enjoy this kind of chatting. Maybe I'll do it once in a while so that I don't have audiences or like guests to be involved. But anyways, I will talk to you and hopefully we'll go back to our podcast conversational style next week. And this is Call Me Negotiator, and thank you for listening at CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Mountain. I'll see you next week.